Blog Talk Radio.
But they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try. Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan.
Takes one to know one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Well, hello. What a way to start the show with a few minutes of silence as before we begin the awesome festivities of the pre-election special. This show, first of all, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Second of all, I apologize to all of my regular listeners on the length of time between shows. I am so sorry. The world makes decisions for you sometimes, and we are trying to get back to a normal rate. However, we are doing, we now do two radio programs. One has nothing to do with the other. And we're about to start a third one, possibility. So we are definitely trying to get things in a order for you and try to get things. Wow, two glitches already, and we just getting started. what do you say to that? Sorry about that. Now, if you're listening to this as a recording, you didn't notice anything except for maybe one of my words got cut off. If you're listening live, you're going, why does he go silent for a minute, 60 seconds or whatever? Okay, let's see. Where were we, ladies and gentlemen? You and I were together again. So glad that you are here with me. Again, we're doing multiple radio shows now, and we are trying to get on a regular scheduled program so that you can hear, you know, show A at this time, show B at this time, show C at this time, and then we'll discuss all the shows and what they're for, because I think you should want to listen to every show, even though you have nothing to do with the other two shows, because you'll learn something every time. Yes, now this show is happening exactly 4 days before America goes and votes at the polls. America to the polls, right? 4 days. So what we're going to do is we're going to delve in some words. All right, we're going to start off with words on things that have occurred in the last 20 years of trying to redefine and redefine and refocus the issues of the day, and try to change the lexicon of the way we have spoken for the last 200 years. We're going to go into that. Then we're going to take a look at some red-handed fibs. That's right. Caught absolutely 100% as a fib. Then we're going to look at what we know the future of 4 years can be, and then what it could possibly be. We may look into some voting fraud issues, but then the second hour, after Adele Omani's Magic Magnificent Minute, the second hour is going to be talking about what Americans really want. And then we're going to discuss what's going on with this country in the mind of people. What has happened to take the love of knowledge away from the youth? What has happened to take the love of knowledge away from youth? What has happened to take actual reading and learning and staying abreast of the situation away from the youth? What has happened in today's world that is causing a certain generation to not pay as close of attention as they could? In fact, it's not actually generational. We'll try to play a video for you later on of some actual interviews of people in line at a rally. Okay, so you're going to see some instances of their answers and make you go, ah, that's not really right. that's not really correct. Okay? So, we have a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and rock old bandit run. Now, half of that audience, half of the audience will go, wow, I cannot believe he just brought out a reference to that movie. The second half of the audience will go, I have no idea what he just did. And the other, almost all of you, not the other half, Yogi Berra, almost all of you is going, I cannot believe he just sang. All right, so we're going to get started in just a few seconds, getting all the glitches out of the way, pressing all the buttons to make them right. You ready? Everyone ready? Yes, yes, yes. We're getting close. Right? Changes happening in just a few seconds. This is called the pre-election special because we're going to look at some of the things you hear in rallies across the country, and then we're going to give you the back-ended words, back-ended real meanings of what they say. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say this is just simply going to be a trash, the current administration show, and that's not true. What I'm doing is I am looking into what the mindset is logically from the current administration, what the mindset is in America, and then what the mindset should be inside every person. So I'm delving into places that not really a lot of people are talking about. A lot of people talk about, you know, this, that, and the other when it comes to politics. But what I'm delving into here is the actual logic and the actual mindset behind the statements that are made and the mindset behind the policies that are going to be attempted to accomplish if there is the next 4 years. So I want you to bear with me. We're going to dig into some intellectual stuff, okay? I'm serious. There's going to be some big thinking here, all right? And then I'm going to play some videos of some people that don't really think that big. And it really puts things in perspective, okay? All right, let's go to the first thing. And the reason I'm coming up with this particular item first, it's going to be first. The reason I bring this up first is because of the recent activities. Those of you who know, Hurricane Sandy swept through the northeast United States. Hearts and prayers go out to them. The long gas lines, we're seeing people eat out of dumpsters. There's a lot of problems up there even after all the promises that were made in the photo opportunities that were created for when they made these statements, okay? And that comes to another point. In my book, Natural Success Principles, I alluded to the last big hurricane, and that was Katrina. And remember when you had Katrina hit, and you had so many people, rightfully so, say, you didn't tell us that this was going to be this big, okay? You didn't tell us this was going to be this big. Well, then New Orleans got another hurricane coming through, and they made everybody evacuate, thinking it was going to be another Katrina, and it wasn't. It was like very tiny compared to Katrina, and people got mad that they told them to leave. And I wrote, well, on one hand, if someone would have told you to leave on Katrina and you didn't, you got mad. And then on one hand, if someone tells you to leave and the hurricane's not that bad, you got mad. At what point would you like someone to make the decision that you need to decide for your own safety? Okay? Now, that did not happen with Sandy, because everyone was saying, please listen and heed our warnings. This is going to be major. You need to get out. Everyone was saying that. The last hurricane to hit the Northeast, in fact, I think it was last year, right? That everyone predicted was going to be a big, big storm, was just a whole bunch of rain and a little bit of wind. It really wasn't as big as they were predicting. So they had to kind of go overboard with their warnings, this time going and they were actually replaying the Katrina and the next hurricane debacle again, but in reverse, because they did the same thing a year ago, and everyone's saying, well, they told me to get out and it wasn't that bad, and now they're having to say, okay, really, we're not kidding, you need to remove yourself from the situation, it's going to be ugly, wet, rainy, flooded, move, okay? So, some people did, okay? But anyway, I'm not going to, this lexicon here is just about public employees, okay? Who on average make more money than the private sector, all right? And there's a lot of people that sit around and think, and talk about how public employees really, really want to help you. Now go back to just 2 days ago, where the governor of New Jersey and the president of the United States both said they will remove all the red tape so that the hurricane victims can get relief faster. Wait, if we're always talking about how public employees, government workers are always hardworking, dedicated, heroic public servants. They're the backbone of the nation. Now, again, I'm not being negative on them. You work in the government sector, fantastic. I'm just trying to show something here. The big joke about the DMV is that it moves like a car accident traffic jam. And when you have a large-scale problem like Sandy, you have two government bigwigs, the governor and the president, both saying that in order for you to get faster and better assistance, I've got to remove government out of the way. Okay? I really think you need to understand this, because this was so monumental. It changed this show. The show, you know, had been scheduled for a while, and we had a set plan of what we're going to talk about, but this changed the show. When you have a governor right? Or what is he, mayor? I don't know. Whatever. The whatever of New Jersey. I think it's mayor. Mayor of New Jersey and the President of the United States both admitting that in order for this natural disaster to be fixed faster, we must remove the bureaucratic red tape that stands in the way. All right, so that is, to me, an admission that government can be a burden, that regulations can be a burden, that the hoops you have to jump through can be a burden, the laws and steps and lawyer speak that people put in the way can be a burden. Is that not what they're saying? When he said, we're going to have a government person answer the phone in 15 minutes. Okay, that's nice during this emergency, but why wouldn't that be the norm? Does anyone understand that? The very first thing I want to get in mindset here with what we're talking about and everything that this show is going to be is that you just had government tell you that they're going to remove themselves from the situation so that you can get assistance better. Then how in the world can they stand back the rest of the year and claim that if I add more government to your life, it will be better for you? Does that make sense? In the most crucial of situations, such as a disaster of epic proportions like Sandy has done, the floods, the rain, the wind, the destruction, the billions of dollars of damage, in one of the most important times when you think all your statements would come true, you just admitted that it's not. That's why I'm opening with this. Because even if you love government, even if government is doing all kinds of things for you now, when you have the government actually standing in front of you saying, we're going to remove government so that you get help faster, tomorrow after the or not tomorrow, but let's say a month from now, those same two people could potentially get on television and go, okay, we're going to open up this new government agency to help you do things faster. You've got to talk, we're going to open a business Government of Business, Department of Business, Secretary of Business. Now, government's going to open up something of business. How is that going to help business? It cannot, because you just admitted that if government stands in the way of something, it causes an undue burden, an undue tension on whoever the government department is putting those rules and regulations on. And I want you to see that. Right off the bat, I want you to see that. Because no matter what we do from this point on, when you have the president admitting that government needs to move out of the way, look at what Chris Christie said. He also said, I'm going to take away the gas regulations that we have in New Jersey of our mix, because we have our special mix of gas. We're going to remove that regulatory burden so that we can get gas in here. Now, he hasn't been able to do that yet, but gas could come from any other state around him. But his state can't just bring in regular gas. They can't bring in gas from next door because their gas mix is different. Do you see how that regulatory burden is now holding people back from getting gas? Because now there's an extra step in between gas from right next door to the gas they normally use in New Jersey. Do you see that big old burden of government standing in the way there that he said he's going to remove? Just yesterday, electrical workers from Alabama were turned around from New Jersey. Now, let me ask you this. Why would assistance to make things better, faster, be around from a city? Anyone? They were turned away because they were non-union. Electrical problem, right? But the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers had a problem with it because the utility crews from the South were not in their union. Do you see how that regulatory burden, brick wall, is now stopping people from getting electricity faster? I'm pointing out burdens of government, people. I'm pointing out that you have an admission. This is important because this is going to tie it all together when we get to it. You have the government officials admitting government gets in the way. Then I give you specific instances of how you can't get gas. There's people sitting in 6 mile long gas lines right now because of the regulatory burden of the brick wall. And then you have people that aren't going to have electricity and they're sitting there going, it's going to take 10 or 11 days. 10 or 11 days. Don't fret. We'll get to it. Well, some people come up and go, you know what? I can help you. I do this down south. I do it on the west coast. I do it up north of you. But then they look at him and go, you're not in our union, are you? Then we can't use you. No, we don't need the extra body because you're not like us. What do you think of that? Do you see right now, right in front of your eyes, that government is admitting and showcased in a glass case how it gets in the way of your freedom, how it gets in the way of your survival, actually, so in some case, in this case, your ability to move? If you don't have a gas, you can't move. Your ability to eat. New York, remember, you can't buy more than 16 ounces of soft drink, so everyone's having to go around and buy 10, 12, 11, 13 glasses of soft drink so that they can take it home for that evening. It's right there in front of you in a perfect example of sitting here without any, I don't have to point out who's what. I don't have to point out what's happening, which one's a Republican, which one's a Democrat. I don't have to point out anything. I'm simply pointing out one simple fact that you have two government people. I don't even have to tell you it's a mayor and a president or a governor and a president. I don't have to tell you who it is. I have to tell you that they're big enough to get on television and then look you in the eye and say, I'm going to remove government away from you so that you get help faster. And then I don't have to tell you that gas could come faster, except for this. You, as a city, said, we're going to make gas differently because we're better than everyone else. We're going to make gas differently. So that burden, now you don't have gas because now it's got to go through an extra step. And you don't have electricity because you don't allow the non-unions to come through that extra step. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting here pointing out massive, massive hypocrisy. And how when you hear, no matter who it is, that I'm going to create something more governmental, or I'm going to create another law, or I need legislation to do so, every single time you hear that, it will be a burden on someone and crush some industry. There are so many private companies flying food and water up to the Northeast. That they're doing a better job than the government. Now again, this whole dialogue was not to destroy the government worker or to put the government worker down. There are plenty of government workers, I'm sure, trying to make a difference. But let's be honest. No one sits there and goes, I had such a great time sitting at my DMV, or I had such a great time trying to open my business and put a sign up where I had to spend a year and a half going through the regulations and motions. Of what I was doing. You see my point? Coffee delivery. All right, let's get to something else here in 1 second, and we'll be right back. Again, sorry, again, hearts and prayers go out to everybody in the Northeast, New Jersey, New York area, Pennsylvania, all the way across, everywhere. We apologize, and I do hope that the government gets out of your way so that you get help faster. All right. I wanted to go into this report. Later, but I think I'm going to go into it now. In New York, let's talk about another regulation that's happening in New York, what they're trying to do. They're actually, they tried to go and ban 50 words from being used on standardized tests to avoid offending people. Okay. Okay. they said they're not trying to be politically correct. They're just making sure test makers are sensitive in the development of their tests. Okay. Some of the forbidden list words were birthdays, celebrities, cigarettes, crime, divorce, evolution, politics, sex, and religion. Couldn't have any of those on a standardized test. Okay. Other words as wealth and poverty. Halloween, dinosaur, dancing, excluding ballet. Abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, or psychological, alcohol, beer, liquor, tobacco, or drugs, any bodily functions, cancer and other diseases, catastrophes, disaster. First of all, I want to know what standardized test had a question on it that said, you know, mommy had cancer. Mommy lived an extra 5 years on the chemo drug, but then died a horrific death. Is it a success? I mean, I don't understand why you need to ban cancer. I don't even understand why you need to ban most of these. But I'm not going into which words are what. Okay? The reason I'm talking about this article is just we just left the mindset of government and regulation and burden. Okay? And how government's not helping you. So we had to break that mindset because government just told you if government moves away, you get help, right? What in their head of this New York County Council sat around and said, we need to make a decision to protect human beings from words that could cause them emotional issues. This is mindset number two that I want to discuss with you. Mindset number one is the government helps me. We just broke that down with a current event happening just 2 days ago where everyone that you could possibly look up to in all the way to the president said, we're going to remove government regulation. So the mindset the government helps you was shattered by their own admission. Now, second mindset, I know better than you and I'm going to protect you from you. This New York County Council sits here and says, we're going to remove these words, these horrible words from these tests so that people do not get upset. The word failed is rarely used in schools anymore. In fact, there are some school policies that say, if there's an abnormal number of A's, they can take the A's away, give them B's, and pull the F's up to D's to give a more common level class. There's policies in place in Little League baseball and football across the country that everyone gets a trophy, no matter whether they won or lost. In fact, some people don't even keep score. The mindset that government needs to protect you from you is one of the things I want to talk about, because if government burdens admittedly were said or in your way, then why are they saying that I need to think for you? Because you can't, you're too stupid to think on your own. You're too stupid to have a question on a test that has anything about television in it. That was actually one of the banned words, television. Words suggesting any wealth, any word that suggested wealth were banned because they can make kids jealous. Jealous. That's another, we're going to get into that just in a little bit later. Birthday celebrations were taken off the word list. The idea that the government needs to think for you, and the idea that you think government needs to think for you, is not a valid concept, because you are a free thinker. You were born free. If there were absolutely no laws in the world, and you were born, and you were in the woods with your mom and your dad, you would have to think for yourself. You know, your mom and dad would teach you the wisdom of what they've learned. But there'd be no one else in your ear going, you know what, I don't want you to read a question with the word hunting in it, because you may not like hunting. There are a lot of things you're going to see and hear in this world that you may not like. But the fact that you are a free thinker, decision on what things affect you or don't. And the government, no matter how hard they try, no matter, every parent tries to shelter their child. But no matter how hard they try, the child inevitably gets exposed to exactly what they're trying to shelter them from. What are you laughing at? Yes, I mispronounced the word. It's early. I just now got coffee delivery, as you heard a minute ago. I don't want to hear it. Goodness. There's, if you could see what's in front of me for this show, it's not a stack, it's not a pile. What would we call this? What is this? A plateau. My daughter's learning landforms. This could be a plateau. It's a raised area that has flattened. I think that's it. I think that's what it's turning out to be. Raised area that's flattened. Plateau. All right. Now, I'm going to go into another word of thinking for you. Change. Change. Do you really know what it means, really? Any politician comes up and says, I want everything to be about change. It's kind of innocuous, isn't it? Was there ever a politician that doesn't talk about some sort of change, right? Because why are they running if they don't think something's not going right? Because if you're running and you're going, well, everything's so peachy, I'm just doing this for a paycheck, I don't think they're going to say that. Some of them probably would get voted in if they just said that. But I have an entire chapter on the book talking about this. And the thing I don't like about comments with change in it is the fact that change is no matter what. It just is. Change is. It will be. There is no way to stop that. It's So when you're talking about change and you're looking at people in the eye and you're saying we're going to talk, bring about change, sometimes that change might be bad. But in the end, it's your job as a free thinker. Remember, if you weren't listening to the government for your thoughts and you were thinking free, you could figure out what that change would be, no matter which politician said it. Now, another word, another mindset, is that government can stimulate the economy. All right. This is based on a very bizarre assumption that government can spend yours and my way to prosperity. The government can come out, hand people money, and spend our way to prosperity. Let me rephrase that. The government can come out and hand you your money again. And we all prosper. Economic stimulus subsidizes the incompetent at the expense of the competent. It stimulates failed companies at the expense of the thriving businesses. It crushes the productive sector at the expense of the parasitical sector. With growing government, it's code word for pork. A lot of people know what pork spending is. When consumers buy products, when you and I buy a product, it encourages the person that manufactured that product to produce goods that you actually want. When Apple came out with the iPhone, you went and snapped them all up, a million of them. Guess what? Apple went out and created the iPhone 2. 4, 5, 6, Deja. You've seen the commercial. Anyway, that's what happens when you go out and purchase something from a company that they're making and it's a big seller and they go, we'll I want you to produce X. And I'm not even going to talk about what X would be. Whatever it is, the government says, I want you to make X. So it's a forced creation of a product. What happens if the public sector does not buy that product? What happens? What did that stimulate? It temporarily stimulated a manufacturing hire to create the product. Now it's stimulating a warehouse rental to hold those products. And then it's going to cause a recession in all those jobs because no one's going to buy it. The company's going to go out of business. And the warehouse company is storing the stuff, doesn't get paid anymore, hold the stuff anymore, so the stuff gets thrown in a landfill. So, in essence, the government shoveled money all the way to trash. These are real mindset issues that I'm dealing with here. That we have to break through the mindset first. Got to break through the mindset first. My government persons just said we're going to remove government out of your way to help you better in the emergency. Then you have government trying to think for you, including all the way down to a county council level. You need to be thinking for yourself. Then the word change, no matter who says it, change is and always will be. No matter who comes into office, they want to do something different. And then government spending their way, giving you money, regardless of who you are, If the government gives money to anybody, you see that that cannot bring about economic stimulus. Now, I spoke about this video that I want you to hear. This is in line. I'm going to go ahead and full disclosure. This is in line at a Obama rally in Las Vegas. And it was interviewed by The Friddle. Okay? And it's asking economic questions and also Libya questions and other things. But I just want you to see, are these people ready for the government to think for them? Has the government been thinking for them? Have they been doing any free thought? But the video is very enlightening. Just listen up.
Why do you think our embassy was attacked in Benghazi?
I don't know the details, to be honest. I don't think anybody really does.
Okay.
Are we supposed to know? Because I watch the news and I still don't understand.
You're laughing. Do you know?
I don't know.
Our embassy was attacked.
I don't know.
It was attacked on September 11th.
Possibly students call where I am cutting the plane.
Primarily, I think the Republicans set that whole thing up. That's what I think. I really do. Because they hate Obama so much, they'll do anything.
We're always going to get attacked, but I think the president handled it well after and didn't make an ass of himself like Romney.
You know, really, in order to really know the real reason why they were attacked, you're going to have to be very close up to the government to really know.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be investigated. That's not an issue at all.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean was the president's greatest accomplishment in his first term?
Oh, no. She wants to really answer.
Oh, just winning the presidency.
Winning the presidency.
Lower gas mileage.
Lower gas mileage?
Lower
gas cost? Very important.
But I think his biggest accomplishment was health care.
Health care?
Wait a minute. Health care and...
And what's the president's plan for his second term? Does the president have a plan for his second term?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and what is his plan?
Moving forward.
Still Congress?
Still Congress?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it is, but I trust he's good.
And Republicans are saying that because the president didn't cut our deficit in half, that that's a failure. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah? And if you could say...
No, I don't agree. Hey,
he's
reduced it, so you can only do so much in 4 years.
As far as the deficit, it's on its way. It's on its way to correction, like climbing Kilimanjaro.
Well, if you could say anything at all to Governor Romney or have any advice for him, what would that be?
Get on Obamacare because you got amnesia.
What would that be?
Literally.
I think he should go back to Massachusetts, live off his wealth and fish.
Pretty much stop being an asshole. That's the blunt force to it. You know, he's an asshole.
Stop being selfish and think about the middle class. He's already rich.
He's already rich?
Yeah.
Do you think you should pay more in taxes?
For sure.
Yeah. And what do you think is a fair tax rate for the rich, do you think?
What we think? We pay 40 cents on each dollar.
40 cents on the dollar? So it should be 40%?
50
for them? And if you could lower taxes, though, would you want to lower them?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I think taxes is an economic factor are way overrated.
People fail to realize that George Bush made a big mess.
So what do you think then of the $6 trillion in new debt that the president had added to our deficit? Is that adding to the mess?
No, I would say it's, you got to get out of debt, you got to get deeper in debt.
Republicans are saying that because the president didn't cut our deficit in half in his first term.
Are you a Republican?
I am a Republican.
See, we're talking to Republicans.
I knew it.
They want to see what we know.
That's right.
I ain't talking to
the last lady. See? They want to see what we know. Now, I apologize. Someone did not tell me that we didn't have that bleeped out, that other lady talking about Romney and how incredible he was and how he resembled an anatomy portion. But one of them, to get out of debt, you have to get deeper in debt. Now, who said that first? Your vice president said that first. He said we spend money to keep from going bankrupt. Another line you heard, oh, get on Obamacare because you have Romneysia. That has been stated by the president himself. Another line you heard, I don't know what he's going to do, but I trust it's going to be good. I don't know what he's going to do, but I trust it's going to be good. All right, we're gonna allow Adele Omani to come in and thrill us with a magnificent minute, because we're about to get into a little bit of deep stuff, and then we're gonna talk about what Americans really want, what you want, really. And then we're gonna talk about how you can get there yourself, regardless of who the president is, regardless of government. Very important, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to stay with me through the second hour. This is the big hour coming up on the pre-election special. But first, Adele's incredible magic minute. Magnificent magic minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. In these minutes, I'd like to share with you answers to questions being asked in energy, and also to give you some tips and advice around how to apply those answers in your day-to-day life to start creating your abundance and become a conscious creator. Those who feel isolated with the weight of the world on their shoulders have disconnected from the source inside them, the source of joy, love and abundance. Our energetic communication is not outward focused. It comes from the infinite within us all. Understanding that your energy is always connected. It is the same energy resonating through everything and everyone. In connection, we are never alone. We are one. So many people fear being alone, yet nothing could be further from the truth. It is through social conditioning that we perceive loneliness. It is through external images and reflections that make us believe being on our own means we are alone. The source of each of us is within, not without. For too long, people have looked out into the universe and hoped to find a connection, contact with more than is us. It was the calculations of a brilliant scientist, Nassim Haramein, who developed sacred geometry and the unified field, who calculated and proved the maths for the measurement of a vacuum in space. And it's exactly the same calculation as the microtubules around our cell structures. He proved the connection with the universal energy. We only have to go within. I totally get the feeling of isolation and loneliness through bringing out 4 children on my own. Yet I can honestly say I felt more connected to everyone and everything today than at any time in my life, being in a relationship or needing to be constantly around people. When you allow yourself time to look and connect within, amazing things begin to happen. In connecting with your energy essence, you begin your energetic communication, and energy is just chomping at the bit to talk to you. In connecting, much is revealed to you, verification and certainties answered. Going within is where you develop confidence as you see the evidence of your conscious creating. When you recognize your energy, you recognize and feel the same energy in everything and everyone. You begin to feel the frequency of others close to you, not in physical proximity, just energetically. As you evolve, you begin to feel energy in its purest, powerful form. You are never alone. You and we are one. When you're trying to make this happen, you're trying to not feel alone, this is where you're causing resistance, because it should never be trying. It should be a natural flow of attracting. And the best advice I can give you on this is that if you feel alone, you really must look inside, and you must look at how you perceive your self-worth. Look at your upbringing. Look at the way people around you have reacted to you. And ask yourself, do I honor my self-worth? Do I believe in me? If you don't, these are the first things you must sort out and deal with before you can start to be confident, before you can start to attract people to you, and before you will begin to feel that you are one with everyone and everything. It is when you understand you are the creator of your reality. You are energy. And as energy, you are connected to everything. There is nothing that isn't energy, and it is all the same energy. It's not different types of energy, it's all the same energy. We are just small parts of the same energy. And once you begin understanding your frequency, you understand how to learn to feel rather than think, you then begin to be aware of other people's energies, other people's frequencies around you. You begin to be aware of this feeling of connection. And it all starts with you. It all starts with honoring who you are and believing in yourself. And the best way to do this is to start with some forms of meditation. So give it a go this week and see how you get on.
Adele Omani, Across the Pond. Love her. Listen to that. That was 10 years of teaching in 5 minutes, in her magnificent minute. The second hour coming up, we're going to talk about what that video talked about. What would it all look like?
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
A pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn. am down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
It's a crazy, mad, insane world.
Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad you be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try. Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad you be alive.
It takes one to know one. Jack Rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Coffee. Had an extra coffee. Woo. Man. All right, I know the first hour was deep, and we're going to get deeper. That's tough, isn't it? You just heard Adele. Her magic minute came up, and she posted something online. I want to read it to you. Nothing is done to you. Everything is created by you from the power of your belief. A life lived in fear and inaction is an existence, not a living. Understand you alone hold the power to change every aspect of your life. Creation comes with loving and honoring your value and worth. It's unique and magnificent. You always have the choice to bury it or embrace it. Ladies and gentlemen, nowhere in that statement does it say, let government do it for you. In the first hour, we talked about mindset. The mindset that the government helps you was broken and shattered by the government itself. By their own admission, they were going to remove themselves out of the way to help you faster. The mindset that they need to think for you and you're too sensitive to handle words, so they were going to ban some. Right? And then the word change. Get over it. Change is and always will be. Ask anyone. Even if they lived in the same house for 20 years and suddenly they're moving, change happened. They thought it would never happen. Last mindset is the government can spend its way to your and my prosperity. And we just proved that cannot be done. Took it all the way to the trash pile. Those mindsets have to go. Now, I've got two ways to go here because we just listened to that video. And no matter where that video was taken, and no matter who those people were, their answers were stunning, were they not? What do you think the second term agenda looks like? One of the ladies said, I don't know, but I trust I'm going to like it. I don't know. What's her answer? That's the sad part about that answer. Another answer, you got to spin. You got to increase the deficit to reduce the deficit. Well, real quick, I'm going to tell you what's on the agenda. And then I want you to tell me if this sounds like something you would like. There is a second-term plan for like a New Deal-style overhaul of the economy. In fact, there is a plan with the creation of a National Infrastructure Development Bank to oversee government control of the financial system. Natural Infrastructure Development Bank. Let's go back to some words, okay, where they talk about the crumbling and fumbling and bumbling infrastructure all the time, right? A wonderful way to push increased spending during a recession is to talk about antiquated and crumbling infrastructure, okay? In other words, you're not going to sit there and go, wait a minute, I do want to drive on a bridge that's going to fall down. I do like the excitement of possibly not knowing that the bridge may not be there as I cross amongst it. That's, and yeah, you know, you're not supposed to ask. You're not supposed to, you know, question that. The bridge is antiquated and crumbling, and you will die if you drive on it. So we must spin. Get a shovel out there. Okay? Now, you're not even supposed to ask how much it will cost to get an infrastructure that isn't dilapidated and deteriorating. Remember now, there's a gas tax, state and federal. There are tolls that you pay. There are general revenue that's supposed to go to infrastructure upkeep. In fact, it's slated every time that penny comes in, or whatever it is, it's supposed to go to fix the roads and stuff. Now, according to the American Petroleum Institute, the average state gas tax is 30 cents a gallon, with the feds taking 18.4 cents a gallon. So every time you go look at your gas bill and it says X dollars a gallon, remember, 48, almost 50 cent of that is going to pay for your crumbling infrastructure. Whoa. If 50 cent of every gallon of gas is supposed to be fixing the roads, wow. Real quick search. Average gallons of gas sold per day in America. Real quick search. Here we go. Da, 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 da. All right, here we go. Nope. Okay. 8.93 million barrels of gasoline a day in 2003 is all I can find right now. So they're predicting the rate is 11.7 million barrels a day, 391 million gallons a day consumed of gas to move America. Let's pull out trusty calculator. Whew, this is going to be a big number, because here we go. 391 million, times 50 cents. Okay? So every day, wow, we got to move this over. Every day, $195 million is given to the government from gas purchase alone. Times
This is such a big number.
Per year, 71,357,500,000 dollars is given to the government for your crumbling, antiquated infrastructure to be fixed from gas alone. You see how it's weird when you put it in perspective and someone says, we need to get out there and fix our roads and bridges and stuff? They're getting fixed, aren't they? Yes, they should be. You're getting $71 billion off the purchase of one single item every year. One single item every year. You're getting $3 billion a day. Excuse me, $19 billion a day. I'm sorry, $19 million, $71 billion a year. $19 million a day from the purchase of one item. And you're going to have the audacity to stand up there and say, we need to create a National Infrastructure Development Bank to oversee government control of the financial system. I really need you to pay attention. Yes, this is deep stuff. There will be a massive government-run jobs program to coincide with the term paycheck fairness. In other words, no matter who you are, for this particular job, we're going to set the limit of pay at X. And if the public sector doesn't abide by that, the government sector will open up a business, create that job, and create the pay at X, and whoever takes that job, that's what they're going to get paid. With compensatory raises tied to the economic activity of the country. I want you to grasp that for any moment, just for a second. Let's say all of us know how to mow grass, push a lawnmower. Okay? Just push a lawnmower. Not talking riding it, not talking fancy, talking pushing it. A group of 10 people lined up know how to push a lawnmower. The government's going to have a national job program to cut grass with this push lawnmower. You will get paid X. No matter what you do, how fast you do it, you will get paid X. So the three people that can push the lawnmower the fastest and get the job done quicker doesn't matter at all. Paycheck fairness. For the job, no matter what you do, if you do it better, and there's no growth. Does that sound like a country you want to be in? Does it sound like you want to be in a country where the government is sitting there lying to you when they get $19 million a day from the purchase of one product alone? The next thing we know on the agenda is illegals are going to get full amnesty so that they can get these paycheck fairness jobs. The next thing we know on the agenda is defunding the U.S. military by taking that money that's going to the Pentagon and all the other military issues and delving it over to clean energy initiatives. In other words, getting the NASA and Department of many things that goes right and wrong during a show, but we'll get over it. We were back. I don't know where we lost, but the Clean Energy Initiative, the defunding of the military, channeling Pentagon money into clean energy initiatives, that's one of the things that's going to happen. And then a new multi-billion-dollar green stimulus along with that. Now, again, we discussed the mindset of the stimulus and how spending money for prosperity for all of us doesn't occur because it's the money we're giving them already, right? So we're crushing the mindsets here. Logic defeats lies. And then the implementation of the healthcare overhaul, which for some reason people think is going to be fabulous. Yes, it has a good overtone feel to it. You get to be, you know, it's all free. You'll get taken care of, la, la, la. Good overtone feel, but the measures that are coming down the pike are massive. And let me go into that real quick, okay? Remember, I'm trying to show you your country based on facts. All right? Now, the president has claimed that the private sector is doing fine, and businesses right now are sitting there, and in 1 month, 30 days, are going to go through a massive layoff. Why would they do that? I thought the economy was on the uptick. Let's go into it. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported just last Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, employers issued 1,316 mass layoff actions. What is a mass layoff action, you ask? That means it affects 50 workers or more. Wait a minute, what? I thought the joblessness went down the last two times. I thought all kinds of good stuff was happening. Whoa, that's because you don't hear this stuff. The unemployment numbers just came out 2 seconds ago. And it's now 7.9. There was no doubt that it was not going to go above 8. No doubt. All right, so let's go back to this mass loss. Now, in September, 1,316 mass layoff actions were reported. Okay? Now, the recent layoff activity is connected to what has been the slowest period of earning growth since the third quarter of 2009. Some necessary restructuring is underway in response to a stagnant European economy, but more and more U.S. businesses are putting the blame bravely and squarely on the obstructionist policies and regulatory schemes, specifically in that new healthcare law. But again, back to the first hour, government in the way. I promised to move government out of the way to save you people in New Jersey and New York, where now U.S. businesses issued 1,316 mass layoff actions last month because there's policies and regulatory schemes in the way that they cannot overcome. One of them, Ohio-based auto parts manufacturer Dana Holding Corp., said that we will have to increase taxes on small businesses and offset increased costs that are placed on us through new laws and regulations. The mandate of the healthcare law for the Dana Holding Corporation, which employs 24,500 workers, will cost them $24 million over the next 6 years in additional U.S. healthcare expenses. Wait, your healthcare bill is supposed to go down. Nope. Going up $24 million in one company. So Dana Holding Corporation, Toledo area corporate offices, laid off 7 employees last Friday. Insider said more on the way. Console Energy, issued one of those federally mandated layoff disclosure announcements because it is intent to idle its Miller Creek surface operations near Naugatuck, West Virginia. So, West Virginians, your move will affect the company's Wiley Surface Mine, Wiley Creek Surface Mine, Minway Surface Mine, Minway Preparation Plant, and Miller Creek Administration Group, all in Mingo County, West Virginia. Despite state approval, cooperation with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and a myriad of other agencies and a stellar safety record, the EPA has dragged its feet on the permit approval process, and the impasse has forced layoff of 145 Consol Energy employees that will be hit at the end of the year, and they are not alone. The EPA just this year, just in the last 4 years, has closed 175 power plants. If you don't think that's making an impact on the bottom line of your energy expense, something's wrong with your head. The healthcare medical device excise tax has already wrought havoc on the industry. Stryker, maker of artificial hips and knees, based in Kalamazoo, Michigan, let's hear it, Michigan, is slashing 5% of its global workforce, an estimated 1,000 workers, to reduce the cost related to the health care's taxes and mandates. Covidin, a New York-based surgical supplies manufacturer, listen up, New York, recently announced the layoffs of 200 American workers and to move some of its plant work to Mexico and Costa Rica, in part because of the coming tax hit. Massachusetts-based All right, I do not know if you can hear me. Another glitch. I think somebody is not liking what I'm saying. It says there's something playing, but I can't hear it. Let's see if we can make this happen. All right. Okay, so we're live. All right. I don't know where I left off, but let's go back. Indiana's Cook Medical Device plans to shelve plans to open 5 new plants. Done. Westgate Resorts, ASG Software Solutions, all separately inform their employees of prosperity undermining economic policies. Now, remember, just recently you had a news report saying that the White House and the administration has said and asked federal defense contractors to not put out those federally mandated layoff disclosures before the election. That memo is now being investigated because that is illegal. Okay? So, I'm giving you the absolute facts on the impending layoffs. 1,316. Let's say they were all the minimum. And let's pull out our trusty calculator. Just last week, 1,316 times the minimum of 50 employees means 65,800 people will be laid off. Let's add to that the 5 plants employing, what, 1,100 people? So that's 5,500. And then the costing $24 million affecting some 24,000 workers. Let's say that's going to be another 8,000. Almost 100,000 workers alone on just the people that have talked recently. I think with that, help the economy at all, ladies and gentlemen? Now, I have not even gotten into this other stack here, this other pile, which is the absolute fibs that have been caught and understandably, factually proven not true. I'm not even going to get to that. You know what? Because I think we've proved our point. The mindset that government regulations and government can help you was destroyed yesterday by the government itself. The mindset that everyone speaks of change is a stupid statement. You need to be asking more specifics because it's going to change no matter what. The mindset that we can pay our way with our own money given back to ourselves or to other people helps us is proven that it simply is throwing money into the trash. The plans we have seen on the table and the laws and policies and regulations that are in place are proving that there is impending layoffs and that it will destroy the economy and will create absolutely no incentive to work harder, better, or faster because it will say, no matter what, this one job gets done by anybody at this pay level. Period. Now, all we did was lay out the facts. I didn't even really get into partisanship here. Because this audience, I know in my heart, has that free thought and they look things up. Go look up everything I've said. Now, we're going to end this pre-election special on changing that mindset. We're going to end this pre-election special on things that I see that can be fixed tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Because we got a problem. Goodness. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got 20 minutes. We've had so many glitches, I don't even know what's going on. It seems like just someone's trying to stifle this. Anyway, the holidays are coming up, ladies and gentlemen. One of our sponsors, I must get those in because we keep running, we keep crashing, and then I miss the time to do it. You want to get something special for the holidays? You want to get something awesome? Go to TylerTracks.com. You can get a personalized gift for your child, whether it be a book, a bear, a singing, a song, discs. It's incredible. You better go. TylerTracks.com. Very important. The next thing that next sponsor, the Homeschooler Hub. That's right, for all educational materials. If you are creating your children with the free thought and free spirit and non-groupthink possibilities of homeschooling, You can be assisted a lot with Homeschooler Hub. There you can buy and sell teaching materials, and you can also have and join the world's first social network for homeschoolers. Very important, ladies and gentlemen, world's first social network for homeschoolers. Love you to give a shot, homeschoolers. Homeschoolerhub.com, and personalized gifts for all the Asians, especially for the upcoming holiday season, TylerTracks.com. Now, we're going to squeeze all this in. Now, here's why you have to pay attention, because, again, I just said they're going to sink their half of the ship with all the regulations that's happening, but the problem is when sinking half a ship, what does that do for your half? Not good, so it's got to be fixed, and it's got to be fixed now. Stealing begots from the I have to get mine attitude. I deserve to be paid attitude, not the I will work for my payment attitude. In other words, success envy. I talk about the times in the past in history where a father and a daughter walk by a house and it's humongous and you go, you know, you work really hard, you can have that house. Nowadays, if you walk by the house and go, look at that, those people are pathetic. That mentality, I don't know where it came from. Work hard and you can succeed. People say, well, I tried to work hard, I failed. Well, goodness, a baby walking, how long do you give to the baby walks? You never stop. You do it until you walk, right? I'm tired of success being denigrated. I'm tired of the mindset that when you're successful, you didn't do it on your own. And you didn't have all this hard work. Somebody had to give you a leg up. I've been up, I've been down, I've been all over and around. My intro talks of the song that's so incredible. The man who does it himself, Frank Sinatra, incredible. He was out of the limelight for so long, came back, and his voice got popularized with that generation of when he returned, not just the generation of when he came from. I'm tired of hard work being made fun of. I'm tired of knowledge trying to be shouted down by tired emotions and their ideas. I'm tired of logic being shouted down by emotional ideas. That's why we talked on the show simply of the facts. I'm tired of the deserve mentality versus the earn mentality. And listeners of this show know I've interviewed a lot of people on this show. And one thing that has come up a lot, one thing that's come up common, is that immigrants are wanting to protect the American freedom, the American ideal, more than people that are born in America. How many foreigners do you see starting companies and doing really well because of their hard work? A lot. Spoke to a tutoring guy. Came from a different country. I can't remember right now. But I asked him specifically, why do you feel it is that immigrants that are coming into this country want the country to succeed more than the Americans that are being born here? And it's that mindset, the deserve mentality versus the earn mentality. That must stop. So what does Americans really want? Let's get into that right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to grasp this. This whole pre-election special, I don't care if you didn't listen to the first hour and you didn't grasp how the mindset cannot be real and how, by their own admission, government cannot assist you. And by you need to decide on your own free will what you want America to look like. So let's look at what Americans really want, the five lifestyle attributes that really matter in order of priority, according to a big old survey. Number one, more money. Financial success has always been the highest priority for American men, but with the economic downturn has leapt to the top among American women as well. And it is not as superficial a wish as it seems. It's no longer about keeping up with the Joneses. It's just about keeping up, period. For more millions of Americans approaching retirement, it's less about more money and more about just getting back to where they once were. That's not what the country's supposed to be. Every parent looks at their kid and go, I know you're going to be more successful than I am, and I want you to be, but for the first time in the world, more people are saying that's not going to happen. For women, money is all about personal security, about having no fears, no worries of the financial kind. Goodness, that's incredible. Women measure success in life based on personal satisfaction and happiness, and the lack of economic anxiety leads to personal happiness. In other words, more money in everybody's pocket makes everybody a little bit happier. I don't know about you, but this grumpy mood of a country really can get you down sometimes. That's why I'm ending on this note. We change it. The mindset has been proven wrong. So now I'm going to show you what you really want, what Americans really want, more money. And then second, fewer hassles. Have you brought a pair of scissors lately? It comes in a shrink-wrap hard plastic shell that is almost impossible to open. You need scissors to open your scissors. That's an example of a company that doesn't understand the importance of a hassle-free life. Products that don't perform like they do on television, services that sound much better in the advertisement than they are in reality, technology that breaks or doesn't work from the get-go, that is the daily grind of the annoying, irritating variations on a hassle. And having less of it is now the number two day-to-day priority in America. Guess what else causes a hassle? The DMV, the post office, government entities in some form and fashion is one of the number one hassles in life. So Americans say they want more money, but not because they want just money and stuff. It's because they just want that worry to go away. And number two, Americans want less hassle from wherever it comes from. Number three, more time. This is the used to be the highest priority for women. Because for good reason, they had to get the kids up in the morning, pay the bills at night, shoulder the majority of family responsibilities and household chores. Even though now vast majority of women work outside the home, they have little times for themselves and they crave it. And that's why money has become at times the highest priority for women. But that doesn't make the battle of the clock any easier. Working class women and single moms are chasing pennies wherever they can find them. Everyone else is chasing the clock. Number four, more choices. There's an important distinction between choice and the right to choose. Young people embrace as much choice as possible. Give them 15 choices of exercise equipment or 20 choices of coffee. The more, the merrier. Remember the scene there was a movie, and a Russian guy came across an entire supermarket aisle of coffee, and he said in Russia, you got one choice. Right? The children of immigrants are more likely than any other segment of the population to choose more choices as their highest desired attribute in life because they come from places where you don't get this choice. Americans that are born here have that choice set in front of them at all their life, so they take it for granted. Now, this is funny. Older people want the right to choose but don't actually want to make the choice. In other words, give them a choice of 20 different doctors or healthcare plans, and you've created a situation somewhere between confusion and chaos. Too many choices is no choice at all. But for most Americans, denying the right to choose or seeming to limit choice is akin to denying life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Conversely, selling the right to choose or seeming to expand choice and embrace of the American ethos, and you'll find a lot of buyers. So what do Americans really want? Really? More money, so that the worry goes away. fewer hassles, so that you don't have to stress so much. More time, so you can do things that are important to you and your family. More choices, so that you, when you have that time and you have no worries, you get to find the way, the right choice for you in what you want to do when you do it. And number five, no worries. In the time of so much anxiety, Americans have recently begun to seek out an attribute that is very un-American in nature, and that is no worries. Because that's kind of a European and Australian tone, right? It can mean anything from yes, it will get done, to I will take care of you. It's an expression of confidence that things will turn out all right, and it's spoken almost as often as have a nice day. Only this time, the speaker actually means it. A hassle is how long it takes for your computer to fire up to a workable stage after you turn it on. A worry is the death of your hard drive. No worries is the difference between an inconvenience and a crisis. Now how, ladies and gentlemen, can you fix this? How can you understand right here, this pre-election special, what's got to happen in this country no matter who becomes president? First off, I need you to free think, because I have proven and it has been given to you by your own president that government is in the way of progress. Okay? I need you to see the risk in doing nothing. I need America to see the risk in doing nothing. Watch any football game and you'll hear the announcers talking about the risk coaches face, especially the risk associated with trying to score. Announcers sometimes caution against throwing the ball too much or taking a chance for going for the big play. What they fail to talk about is the risk of not trying these things. Yes, you risk turning the ball over, possibly losing the game. However, there's a real risk in trying to avoid these outcomes. Defensive defenses, the prevent defense hasn't prevented anything. If ultimately you want more, whether it is responsibility, recognition, reward, or just a different challenge, failing to take a risk is the biggest risk of all, because you will shut off all possible opportunities. Going back to what Americans really want, you, what do you really want? People that are satisfied with their careers are 48% more comfortable accepting some risk in their job future than people who feel unfulfilled in their work. So, going back to that paycheck fairness, where you, all of you, are going to get paid the same no matter how well you do your job. When you feel unfulfilled in work, you will not accept a risk. And when you do not accept a risk, failing to take that risk will shut off all possible opportunities. Meaning, America will shut off all possible opportunities of growth and prosperity and life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness will be gone if we fail to see the risk in doing nothing. People who have it right work harder to make it better. Here's a mentality I want you to fix. Some people think that people work hard to get something right, and once they do, their efforts decrease. In other words, the rich, if they're given the rich, they stop doing anything for the poor or middle class. Or people that have strived to succeed suddenly sit on their laurels and say, I'm done. When in fact, in truth, people who work hard to get something right tend to keep working hard to get it even better. Managers or production facilities, this is fact, manager production facilities who are meeting their quality targets actually invest 20% more time in improving their practices than managers of facilities that are falling short of their goals. So do you see that? because they're meeting what their goal was, they're actually spending more time to do it better. Well, if I got to here, remember the stretching of the mind, an idea, once you stretch the mind to a certain idea, it can never return. On production, they don't sit back and go, oh, wait a minute.
Don't tell me we're going to lose again.
Going. All right. So once they've reached that goal, they look around because they have the mindset that I reach this, I can go even higher. And if you limit people and their ability to reach a goal so that they can go higher, the prosperity of the country will disappear. And last but not least, one of the things I preach in every speech I do is do not settle. Do not settle that this is the norm of the country. Do not settle with your position in life. Do not settle for any reason whatsoever. People don't buy houses or cars if they're not sure about every detail. It's too important to rush into that kind of commitment. But how many of us toil in jobs we don't think are right for us? You will spend more time between the ages of 25 and 65 working than you will spend doing anything other than sleeping. Your job will not only define possibilities for your future, it may also come to define you. Never stop thinking about what you need to do to love what you do. Even though they may not want to, people tend to take their jobs home with them at the end of the day. Low levels of careers interest are associated with low enjoyment of life overall and even greater dissatisfaction with family life. I want you not to settle. I want you to take the mindsets that I have brought and shown to you to be false, and I want you to go find out how I prove them to be false again and again and again. And then I told you what could happen and what is on the horizon of happening if we allow what is sitting there as law to become law in 1 month and 30 days. And then I showed you how to change that mindset. Do not settle. Go break a goal and then make it do better. And then understand that we cannot stop the American dream. Because in just a little over 200 years, this country became the greatest country in the world when other countries had thousands of years to do so. And all of it was based on the fact that you have the free will to think, you have the free will to live, and you have the free will to be and do anything you want to be and do. And there's no reason to settle for less. America is on the brink of becoming big and bigger or becoming less and less. I have presented to you a pre-election special that I think will hopefully shatter your preconceived notions of thought. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Hatfield. Sorry about all the glitches. I just had to get it all. I had to get it all in. I wanted to make sure you're ready to take on the country, ready to go out and do what you need to do. And I believe you know what that is. Let's make it happen, ladies and gentlemen. This country needs you now more than ever so that it can be big, badder, and bolder than it's ever been before.